I'm Akilah Days.
I'm Malika Days, and we are your hosts at the One Soccer Nation podcast. Today, we have the pleasure of interviewing Sydney Steyer.
Sydney is a
Thank you for
professional
having me.
soccer player currently playing in Hungary for Puskás Academia. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. But
Got
Sid, thank you for being here and taking your time today to speak with us. How are you? How are you feeling?
First of all, thanks for having me. And second, congrats on being host of this podcast,
Thank
guys.
you.
So very
Thank
excited. But I'm good. I just got home from training not too long ago, and time to rest. That's it, really.
Well, that's good. That's
All
good.
right.
Also,
So,
can you like pronounce your team name in case I pronounce that wrong?
yeah, so it's called Pushkash Academia. So you literally said it right.
Okay, good.
And it's in Feltrude, Hungary. So it's like 25 minutes outside of Budapest.
Okay,
So just to introduce Sid a little bit. So we actually know Sid really well. She's a really good friend. We met in college at the University of Maryland, and we've been friends ever since. So we're honestly just so excited to have you as our first interviewee on our podcast, and we're just happy for you to share your story and just inspire like future aspiring young players that want to play professional.
And to start off, could you just like tell us a little bit about like yourself and your journey from playing college and then going pro?
Okay, so Billy just said we all played together at the University of Maryland. For the younger players who might watch this, I didn't commit to Maryland until the fall of my senior year. So if you think it's too late, it's not. Like, don't worry. Everything will be fine. And then I did played 4 years at the University of Maryland, and then used my COVID year. If For those who don't know, if you were in school during COVID, you kind of like lost a season, you were granted by the NCAA, a like another season to play. So I used that season at the university. At Indiana University, which is also in the Big Ten. And then after that, I started working with an agent I found through another player almost. And I was at home from my, so I finished at Indiana December 2021, and then I was at home for that spring semester or whatever you want to call it. And then I joined Spartak in Serbia, in Subotica, Serbia, for my first professional team that following summer, so summer 2022. And then I played 1 year there technically. I had originally a 6 month contract and then extended that through the following spring. That contract was over, and then I came to Pushkash this past, I guess, last July, mid-July. So second year in the pros now.
Yeah. How do you think like your transition from going from college to professional like has been? Like, what was it like for you?
Good question. I think so. There are like so many ways to check this question, but it's been like so going from Maryland to Indiana, I think actually prepared me really well in like that transfer experience. And that was kind of like what I wanted out of it was adversity. So it's a little dangerous to chase adversity, but
Yeah.
But through that transfer from Maryland to Indiana and like all of those hardships I experienced, it made coming overseas a lot more of like a smoother process, because I had already just gone from a team, essentially like the core of us had been together for 4 years. So like that team that you're used to a brand new set of players. So it was essentially like the same kind of thing going into Serbia. So I would say like that part was helpful and smooth, but coming overseas to a country where they're it's not like a world language, you know? So it's not like a popularly spoken, like Serbian, a lot of people don't speak Serbian. So going into that like new culture and a new language, city, entire like different experience was took some adjusting to. But all in all, like you kind of learn quickly. I'm sure you guys kind of feel the same. Like when you one, you have to learn quickly, you know, and then two, you're going to the grocery store and people are speaking a different language, but you kind of realize everybody's doing the same thing in the world every day, just in a different language. So, yeah.
No,
So
yeah, I know.
it's,
Yeah,
yeah.
I like definitely like relate to that, just like with the French, speaking French. Like I spoke a little bit, but like I wasn't like, since I wasn't speaking it for like a long amount of time, like in when I was playing in the States, like
Do
it
you feel like
talks.
your French has gotten way better?
Oh yeah, a lot better. Like when I first got there, I literally was not struggling, but they would speak really fast, and some of them had different accents, so like catching on to little words was a little difficult, but I've definitely caught on a lot better now. And like I feel like now I'm not as afraid to be like, okay, I don't understand what I'm saying.
True.
Yeah.
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 Like you
Yeah.
just kind of adjusted to
Yeah.
like but also your teammates. Do you feel like your teammates are helpful in like helping you out with
Oh yeah,
the
definitely.
language,
Yeah, definitely.
learning
Like,
the language and stuff like that?
yeah,
Or like
even.
getting better, I
Yeah, I
more
would say.
fluent.
Yeah, I would say so. Like, even sometimes they try to like, if I don't understand a word, they'll just try to explain it in French, but just using different words, and that helps. So, or just re-explaining it again.
Yeah.
That's too, so.
Do they speak English in Hungary?
Yeah.
Yeah, so well, most people understand English at least.
Okay.
And then you know how it is, like when there's a language barrier, it kind of just depends on the person and like if they're shy to speak it or like confidence. I think everything with languages is like most of it is like confidence.
Yeah.
So but I'm super fortunate, because as soon like after being here for almost like 8 months, I think now, I didn't count, but like throughout the fall and up until, I can't think of one person who doesn't speak to me in English, or like I can't somebody like I couldn't speak to. I have Everybody has like gotten progressively one better at their English and two more confident speaking. So like there are a couple of people who I didn't even know if they really knew English or like spoke English in the beginning, and now they're either learning or just like speak like okay speaking English to me, which has been
Oh, that's nice.
actually really special and cute. So
Oh, that's nice.
yeah, I'm proud of them.
But like
Crazy.
even on so even on the field, you guys speak English, or you say like Hungarian words?
I think I speak in English almost 100%. Sorry, but everybody like knows enough, so like I don't It doesn't affect, like, they can speak in Hungarian or they can speak in English, but like our coach also coaches majority, vast majority in Hungarian.
Oh.
So I had like most of the words on the field
Yeah.
that are Hungarian, like I know what they are and like I understand them.
That's really
But
cool.
at this point, yeah, at this point, it's just like if it's about the urgency, you know what I mean? The tone of voice and the urgency, it doesn't really matter what language you're speaking. You can say, you don't even have to say a word at this
Yeah.
point.
That's funny.
So yeah, it's funny.
That's very true. Like, you just know what they're saying. Yeah. I think it's just like a social cues, honestly, knowing their social cues and stuff. I think
Yeah.
that helps a lot with knowing what
Oh.
they're saying, even if it's a different language.
Yeah. Mila, how's your Danish going?
I only know how to say thank you, which is talk. But they all speak English here. Like, even if they do speak in like Danish, I'll just be like, what did he say? And then they'll just tell me in English. But a lot of the girls speak English pretty well. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
I do feel like there are like you have certain teammates who will translate to you like pretty well and like word for
Yeah.
word. I feel like I definitely have like those. I think I have like four or five that I could be like, what they say, they're like quick, like their English is pretty proficient and they'll translate almost right away.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I need as much translation as I did before, because like the number, you do know the number. Does your coach speak in
He like goes
coach
back and
English?
he
Do
goes
your
back and
coaches?
forth. Yeah, he goes back and forth. Like he played in England, so like he also has like an English accent at the same time, but he goes back and forth with Danish and English. So even if I don't understand, I'll just ask somebody.
Yeah.
So it's fine. But yeah, are you the only international player on your team?
No, so we have Finnish girls. So we have three girls who are from, sorry, my internet. We have three girls who are from Finland. Two are 18, one's a goalkeeper, and then one's a field player, and then one who's 22. And then we have another, we just got this spring, a girl from Belarus, and she's a forward, and she's I want to say she's 21. So yeah, I'm the only
North
English
America.
speaking, like n native English speaking international, but I'm not the only international on my team. And the Finnish girls all speak English pretty well. So,
Yeah. So like
yeah.
you played in two countries,
Yeah.
Serbia and Hungary. Like what like differences have you noticed? What do you like? What do you not like? Just stuff like that. Just like comparing both of them.
Comparing like as far as the playing games.
As far as yeah, just as far as like outside of soccer and within soccer, just like both.
Okay, yeah. So, let's start with like on the field or like the locker room and stuff like that. I would say this team, they're different dynamics. So, I think one difference is the age difference. So this we have a pretty young team at Pushkash. We have like a core group of maybe like eight. I could say definitely like half the team is between 16 and 19,
Oh, wow.
or 16 and 18. So we have like a couple 16-year-olds, a couple 17-year-olds, a couple 18-year-olds, 19. So That's one difference. And we have like a core group of maybe like six, seven, eight. We have like the younger group, and then we have like a group kind of like in our 20s. And then our oldest player, I think, is 30. So in that way, it kind of is already a difference, just like in the energy, in the, I don't know, it's like a little bit more like light, I would say. And then also the team I was on in Serbia, they're defending champions every single year, playing Champions League. So I think they're older, more experienced, but there's also like more pressure, I think, where like right now, like we're at Pushkash, like I would say like we're hungry and like we're chasing the title. Like we're chasing, there's a couple teams ahead of us. So like we're going after them. Whereas like contrasting the other team, they were like my last team, they're sitting on the top and everybody's chasing them. So I
Yeah.
think there's a little bit of a different dynamic there. So the age and the standings. And then also like this club in general at Pushkash, super organized. They have a very clear academy program on both sides and very clear like style of play and pretty full coaching staff. It's very organized. So in that experience, it's different too, I would say. Where we kind of have more, I would say this club has more resources than the one I was at last time, which if you're coming from like to the younger players, if you're coming from like university or college play, or even before that, I'd say like it's important to look at the clubs also for what resources they have. Like we were just talking before we got on the call about like the training rooms and like other support staff. Like, are you gonna get your video or film? That's another thing that I could talk about also, is like access to film. This club, I have access to all my film, all my games, which isn't necessarily the same as my last. So yeah, so on the field, that like those kind of are the differences. But all, again, my last club was also organized on the field in their style of play and ability and things like that. But then off the field, I think in Serbia, in Subotica, it's like a very like picturesque small city, which I think is like was a perfect place to start. But too, I feel like you guys are also in like, well, really like a smaller, like very quaint almost. Like, yeah. So I feel like it's a good like place to, for me, it was a good place to start. Because I knew my way around. You have like a re your like regular places that you go to. And yeah, it was like a good start. And then here, because I live in Budapest, I live like right in the city, and it's like a pretty like major European city. And I love it. Like there's so much to do and there's like places to explore, and some of my teammates live in Budapest also. So that's just a difference in like the cities and like the size of the cities and like the things you can do and the transportation here versus there. There are differences for sure, but I do love Budapest. It's a beautiful city. You guys should come visit.
One
Yeah.
day, definitely be one day, like literally one day. But like you say, you love Budapest. Like, what's your favorite thing about it? Like right now.
Right? Well, specifically this week, the weather's gorgeous, but
I'm jealous.
not always like that because in the winter it was freezing. So I can't sell you on the weather, don't worry. I'd say one, I think everybody who's been to Budapest will say like the public transportation system is crazy. It's so organized. The metros run like every 4 minutes. You can all get everywhere in like 20 minutes, probably less, like 20 minutes max. So it's like, and like the walkability, like you can go somewhere and then like, I don't know. It's easy to get around. And then also it's like, you know, I love the architecture of these like European cities, like the buildings, like you don't get tired of looking at them because they were made hundreds of years ago and they're gorgeous. So that, and then also I would say like for me personally, being from outside of DC, it feels to me similar to Washington, DC. So it gives me like that same kind of, because the there's out like there's a river that runs through, kind of like separating Buda and Pest, and it like is like kind of the same setup you would find of like DC and the Potomac almost. So like crossing the bridge every day to go to training, like it gives me the same vibes as being in DC. So I also love that. And like you guys know how much I love DC. So like a little home away from home a little bit, but like European-esque vibes. So yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I definitely
That's
feel like being in like city, but like city type like countries, I feel like it's a lot easier to find things to do. 'Cause I remember when we were sitting, like when we were in Saint-Étienne in France with my sister, like it gave a city vibe, but at the same time it was a small city, so like finding little stuff to do was pretty hard. Like all you really could do is like eat. Like there wasn't really much like sightseeing. Like where I
Yeah.
am now in Denmark, like there's a lot of things to like sightsee. Like a lot of people will go like swimming in the water, in the river or in the city. Like there's a lot of cute restaurants to sit and eat at. Like they have a lot of like outdoor activities. So I feel like it's a lot more entertaining to be in those kind of countries, especially when all you're doing is really playing soccer most of the time. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree because I'm living like outside of the city, and like where I live, where I live is
How
like,
far outside?
it's not that far because like Rodez is pretty small. Like you could probably walk the city, like a Rodez, you could probably walk. But like I live like 10 minutes, 5 minutes by car. But like walking, that's it's like 40 minutes. But like for me, I don't have a car. All my teammates have cars, so it's like for me it's not much to do, but like you can really go on walks, you can go for runs. So I like that. I like that. You
Yeah.
can ride a bike, like you can do stuff like that, but anything else, not really. Like
Do you feel like what do you guys feel like? How do you guys feel about the like cafe culture? You know what I mean?
oh,
Like
like
what is it like what was it like now? What is it like where you guys are now? And then what was it like in Saint-Étienne?
I feel
Like
like here, like it's very basic cafe, like coffee. It's like just black coffee. You pour some milk or put some little sugar. Like there's not really like any fancy like coffee shops unless you go to like a bigger city, like Toulouse, France. But here, yeah, it's really basic stuff. Yeah, for
yeah, in Denmark, they'll have like coffee shops where you can like make ceramics and paint. Like they have really create yeah, like they have really creative like coffee shops here. Like every coffee shop has its own theme. Like there's this one coffee shop, it's like very like artistic. So you see a whole bunch of people's art in there. It's like every coffee shop like has its own theme. It's actually really cute. So I like it. I've only visited like one or two, but They have like a lot of good ones that I've seen so far.
I feel like here it's like, obviously, there's a ton of like cafes and coffee shops, and like you can go to the mainstream ones, or like, you
Yeah.
know, find the little ones that you might not like that are less mainstream. But I definitely found like in Subotica, like, there are every hour of the day there are people like sitting at the cafe,
Yeah.
like just inside, outside, whatever, every hour of the day, drinking a coffee or whatever.
I definitely think coffee is very much a European thing, for sure. Go ahead, Kay.
I was gonna kind of go back to what you were saying about like how the hardships that you faced in college. Like, what hardships have you faced in Serbia or and in Hungary that kind of like shaped you as a player or like who you are right now?
Question. I think starting off, like when you go anywhere that is new, and especially how we were talking about like the cultures, like getting into like different cultures and like learning about them, I wouldn't call it hardship, but it's definitely like something that's learned. Fortunately for me, well, okay, let's see. Fortunately for me, like I feel like I can kind of appreciate like a different culture, so like that part wasn't hard necessarily for me. But then we're talking about also like on the field hardships. My fall in Serbia, I pulled my hamstring pretty bad after one training. It was like textbook for your hamstring, so I got that. So I ended up missing like five, I think it was five games that fall. And unfortunately, my mom and my family came to visit me in that time, so like they didn't get to see me play because I was injured. And so coming back from that injury, it was difficult. And I was also originally on a 6-month contract, so it's like, okay, you have this amount of time to play this many games before you gotta look for a new club. So like missing a chunk of it's literally we had 11 games that fall and I missed five, so missing those games that you feel are like important to getting film, which I also wasn't getting really, and then like just the pressure of like, okay, now I need to get stats because I need to make up for like the games that I miss. I feel like any athlete who has been injured, no matter what level you're at, you feel like when you get injured, you're just watching and you're like, I'm getting behind. Like it's not even getting behind of your, maybe it's getting behind of the teammate who's in your spot right now, but also it's like, okay, I'm getting behind on my own stats of like what I want to accomplish. So I think any like injuries like that where you're missing like maybe more than like three games, four games, like any more than that, you're just like, okay, it's taxing mentally taxing. And then going back to Serbia, I wasn't planning on going back to Serbia originally. So when I went home for the winter, I was not sure. Basically, I was essentially like clubless for that winter, so that was a whole mental struggle. And then even a mental struggle to decide to go back to Serbia, which it ended up like it worked out, and I'm grateful it worked out that way. But that's not to say that it wasn't after
Yeah.
a lot of like mental hardship,
Yeah.
and just never knowing. You know, when you never know what the right decision is going to be until you make it.
Yeah.
So, kind of going back and forth with that, was a challenge. And then in Hungary, this past fall, in August, I ended up, it was like I had been here for a month, and I ended up going to the hospital because I had some got a well like it's almost like an exercise like injury kind of. It's called
Yeah.
rhabdomyolysis, and I could go into that, but if you don't know what it is, I would implore you to look it up. But yeah, basically I went to the hospital for about 4 days, 3.5 days, and was just absolutely pumped with IV fluids. And that recovery was about 2 months, maybe a little bit more. So talk about missing 5 games with a hamstring, and then to be out and not playing for 2 months. It's that was hard. And it was hard only not only because I wasn't playing, but it's like, okay, I don't know if in the beginning I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna ever play again. So kind of that was hard. Definitely I would consider that a hardship. But and then recovery, again, any injured athlete knows that recovery is physically hard and mentally challenging. And yeah, so that was definitely hard. But yeah, but now I'm in a good place and really happy with this club right now, and I'm just like grateful for how everything like has worked out, because the hardships are part of it. You're gonna learn something.
You're
You
not.
can't really go through a hardship and not learn something.
Oh yeah, that's so true.
If you don't learn anything, you didn't look close enough, I guess. So yeah.
Like after going through the like those injuries, and like I can also relate to just like the waiting, because you never know, like you never really know when you're just waiting for a team to sign you or just show interest. Like what advice would you give to like younger players that aspire to go professional?
First, I gotta give a shout out to because in college we did a lot of work and had a lot of conversations about being okay, like being getting comfortable with the unknown and not knowing what's gonna happen. And I think that goes holds hand in hand with like faith, having faith in whatever you have faith in, like having faith in it. But I would say my biggest advice is, I have kind of two. Like, one, go for it. Like, if that's your dream and you think like you will regret not going for it, that's just the biggest sign to go for it. And then two is, reach out to connections. So everything, I feel like in every area of life or jobs or whatever, it's all about connections. So using those connections and not being afraid or shy to use them. So, and I think a lot of people, like, if you're with the right people like to help people. Especially in like the football world. So I would say if you have a coach that you're comfortable with, or like a trainer, it could be an assistant coach, it could be like a personal trainer, or anybody who you think is connected wants more, like to somebody else, reach out. And if you don't know if they're connected, ask. Ask them, hey, are you, I'm interested in, it could be, I'm interested in playing in college. Do you know anybody? I'm interested in playing professionally. Do you know how I can put my name in the draft? Do you know how I can try to walk on or get on trial? Or if you know you want to live in Europe, like I've known I wanted to play in Europe since I was like 13. It's like how finding a coach or somebody who you can say, hey, these are my dreams and these are my goals and aspirations. Do you have any advice on how to make it a reality? So that's like, use your connections and ask questions, because if you don't ask, the answer is always no. So you know, it's so cliche, but it's so true.
So true.
So yeah, that's my top advice, I think.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it's important to be proactive sometimes because you can't just sit and wait for something to happen for you. Like, you have to make it happen for yourself. So I really appreciate that advice that you gave. That was a good point.
That was a really good point. Like, I feel like connections are so important, and like if you don't go out your way to ask, like you'll never know. You're never gonna find out. Like, you can't always be scared to like vouch for yourself or like ask for things, because you could be like robbing yourself of an opportunity, and you don't even know it. So,
So true. It's so
yeah.
true.
How do you, I'm actually gonna ask a question. Like, how do you, so like you played for like 2 years professionally, right? Or almost 2 years.
This is my second, I'm in my second year. Yeah.
How do you feel like you've grown, like as a player, as a person? Like, how do you think like playing professionally has helped you, like individually?
I think the first year, I grew a lot. One, tactically, I think growing up, like you always hear the tactics, like tactics in Europe are different, blah, blah, blah. So like on the field, that was definitely tr true with my previous club and this club. But talking about like my first year of playing, I would say like learning our tactics and how important they are, and how when you execute the tactics, like it actually makes a huge difference. And so that is one. And then I think coming into my second year, I have just like more confidence in, just like on the field confidence in, like leadership role, which every team I've been on, I feel like I've come into a leadership role, and I feel like that was a little bit less and like a little lacking in Serbia, because one, a little like language barrier. You're like, you can still talk on the field, but maybe not have that like role. I kind of stepped back and like learned how to be in that role that I was needed to be in, which wasn't that. And then coming into Pushkash, I feel like it's taken me a while, a little bit, to adjust and like find my role that I'm comfortable in. But I feel like now also being one of the older players and like one of the more experienced players, I feel more comfortable using that and like trying not to second guess myself, because I'm like, okay, I have this experience, and my coaches have been super supportive of me using my experience on the field and trusting, like if I see something and I'm saying it to my teammates, like they're like, yeah, do that because you know what you're talking about. So I think, time flies a little bit. You're like, wait, I'm one of the older people on this team. What's going on?
I
But
know.
no, it's true, like coming into a leadership role. I think has been good for me. So yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that because, like, when I came here, like, there's a couple 24-year-olds, there's like a couple 25-year-olds, and there's like a 30-year-old. So, like, and then everyone else is younger. So, like, when I came in, the coaches expected me to be like this leader, that whatever. And, you know, that's just not my character. But at the same time, like, I'm someone who has like a lot of experience, and, you know, I play with Jamaica, so with my experience, they feel like I had to kind of go into that role. So I kind of had to dig real deep to like bring it out of me, because I'm just a very reserved, you know, quiet person. So I kind of had to like honestly just be like, you know, this is good for me. This is like a good like practice for me to actually like practice like being a leader and like leading people, especially like in my position. You kind of have to be a leader in the back and communicate and stuff. So I kind of had to really like just be more confident and just bring that like leadership role out of me when it came to
I mean,
coming here. So, huh?
you've always led by example, though, to be fair.
Example, yeah. Not being so vocal. I'm not a very vocal person. I'm very like to myself, you know, when it comes to like being in big groups or whatever. So I think like being in Denmark has helped me with like bringing out that leadership side of me. So that's how.
Okay, how do you feel like you've grown? In your, because you're in your, on your second, in your second club now.
Me, honestly, I feel like me, I've grown a lot, like mentally. Like, I feel like it's easier for me now to like not be so much in my head and just like just play freely and like just believe in believe in myself. Like, 'cause I feel like if you don't have confidence, it really separates you from like everyone else, because I feel like everyone that plays pro is confident, and I feel like when confidence and talent goes together, like, and you are really talented, like you really sh like show off and you stand out from everyone else. And I think for me, like even in college, I think something I was really lacking was confidence. So I think that's what I've really grown in, is like my confidence and believing in myself and just like asserting myself. Even though I'm not like the loudest on the field, like I'm more vocal, I'm more like confident to like, oh hey, like you could have passed me there, or hey, you could have like just like be aware where I am on the field. I'm just more like, what do you mean? What's the word? I just communicate
Oh, that's also like leadership.
more. I just communicate more. I'm not afraid to like say what I have to say, if that makes sense.
I think that, yeah. Oh my God. But
You
that comes with all
have
this,
grown.
that comes with the experience.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I
that's true. feel like after a while, you're doing the same things over and over. Like, I feel like it's inevitable that you're gonna like start being like, oh, I can say this, I can say that, like, I'm saying.
And the
So,
more comfortable you get with your teammates too.
yeah.
Yeah, that too. Because at first I was very like to myself, but as I got more comfortable, I'm like talking more with other girls, and yeah, so it just builds like what's that word? Not cohesion, but on the field,
Chemistry.
yes.
Chemistry.
Chemistry. Chemistry.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I've grown a lot.
Yeah.
Wow, look at us growing as women and
Oh, really? It's so funny to like, because we literally all were together
freshman year.
in
We're
the Rockies. This not like it.
Wait, repeat that?
We have some friends in Maryland, so yes, like actually, there were a lot of things that Maryland that really. Oh, I was saying there were a lot of things at Maryland that kind of like I think struck everybody, like struck down confidence. Like it wasn't you weren't there for building confidence,
Yeah, that's true.
That's
to
true.
be
That's
fair. So
true.
I feel like going through that, like the adversity that feeling and coming into these like professional clubs and being able to still like grow back the confidence is
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It's
a
a
journey.
yeah, it's
But
really
it's cool to see it after school.
Yeah, it is cool to see even just looking back at like how far you've
Did you
come.
say?
I said it's cool to like look back and see how far you've come, how much you've grown, like stuff like that. It's cool to think about too. Yeah.
Yeah, and to hear you guys, like the way that you guys talk about it now and like your leadership on your teams, like Millie stepping into leadership, Ken also but like actually being like more confident on the field because you've always had the talent, you just weren't as confident for reasons we all understand. Yeah, it's so cool.
Well, I think that's all the questions that we have for today. We want to say thank you for taking your time to be on the One Soccer Nation podcast. And yeah, we're just really thankful for you to share your story and inspire other young
Thanks
players.
for having me.
No problem.
Me.